Father, now be glorified through our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Through your rich, rich word. In yes, Jesus' Lord. Name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Just want to talk briefly today about where we are and what you call the State of the Union address. All of you know about all the protests that are going on around here and the unrest that we actually have in our cities and our towns. And the question is being asked as believers in Christ, how are we to respond to this? What should be our posture to this? And so I just want to kind of give you where I believe God would have us to be in these times. I think there's two things that we ought to be doing. Is one, we ought to be getting involved, and two, we ought to be glorifying God.
Amen.
We're going to be getting involved, and we're going to be glorifying God.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that of all the things that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever it is we do, we ought to bring glory to God.
Amen.
In the midst of the situation that's going on now, we can't sit by idly and just watch things go. We have to give them also a biblical perspective of what we believe Christ would have us to do in times like this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is screaming for justice. Justice. I guess in the long of that justice, you want the pursuit of happiness. You just want to be able to live and be treated fairly. And I believe that the Bible has an answer for everything because Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And so as we prayed and as we went through the scriptures, we found a very probably unfamiliar psalm that I believe addresses how we should be looking at this, what our posture should be in these times of trouble. And so if you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 62, I'm going to read it in its entirety, all 12 stanzas, and I'm still going to get us out of here in a timely manner. I'm just going to elaborate on a few things in here that I believe speaks directly to where we are and to how we should respond as believers in Christ. Because even though we are African Americans and we don't deny that fact and we are proud of that fact, we are believers in Christ first. We must also remind ourselves of that, is that we live by the standards of the Word of God. And so Psalm 62 says this. It says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock in my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul waits silently for God, alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also, to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Justice is all in that song. Justice, the quality of being just, righteousness, equitableness, moral righteousness, to uphold the justice of a cause. Beloved, it's the moral principle determining just conduct. And we find that in the Psalms. What you need to understand is that there has been some things going on here, and it didn't just start. I can just begin to read names to you, and I know that it will ignite feelings in you. I mentioned names like Emmett Till, Medgar Evans, Martin Luther, Elijah McClain, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, Tamar Rice, Freddie Gray. I can just go on and on. Of course, George Floyd, the reason that all of this really came about. And when we read those things, there's something we have in common with them, is that we're all African Americans. And we all have not been treated justly. And we believe that there is a systematic racial injustice going on here. There's economic oppression going on here. There is police brutality. There's a judicial system that puts us in and don't let us out. There's prisons that are housing more of our brothers and sisters than any other population in the world. And the church can no longer be silent on those issues. But we have to respond justly in a manner that is befitting to what God would have us to do. And so in this psalm, as I hastily walk through it very quickly for you so you can have an understanding of what was actually happening here, the psalm was written by David. And in this psalm, David is in trouble. We don't know exactly what trouble he was in. And in his trouble, he always relied on God to make the moves that are being made. David did not move until God told him to move. I'm reminded of the story that we just went through when we were reading the history of David, when Saul was chasing after David. And David had two opportunities to take Saul's life. David never gave in to it because he knew that God is the only one that can bring about justice in his time. And so we rely on God. There's nothing wrong with protesting. I believe protesting is good. It gets your voice out there. It gets all the things out there. I believe that we also must wait, though, on God. And we must understand that what God is calling for us to do. So there's three things that I see here. And the three things are this, is that in this psalm, we must realize that there's a problem. First of all, if you walk around this water there and you'll think there's a problem, you are the problem. Amen? If you don't think there's a problem, you are problem. So we got to realize that there is a problem, and that's very pronounced here in this psalm, right there in verse 3, where David pins this. He says that, how long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from the high position. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, and they curse inwardly. And what you see there, again, is a picture of someone who is after David, and we don't know who it is, but there's someone after him, there's someone trying to keep him down. That's the context. And now, here's the application. This psalm refers to anyone or any class of people or any group of people who are using these actions to attack another race or another group of people so that they might have superiority over them. He says, how long will you attack a man? How long will you attack a people? You shall all be slain, all of you. Because God's going to judge all of this one day. Like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. And this particular part of the stance can go both ways. You can talk about the victim or the one who's actually doing the attacking. And so I look at it from both end lenses. And what I see is that what he's saying is that you're both going to be destroyed like a leaning fence. A rickety old fence is about to fall down, or a tottering fence. In other words, that the one that you're beating on, eventually, they're going to collapse because of the fact that you're putting all this pressure on them. Or if you are the one that is trying to set up a society that does not have equity in it, and is not built in the way God wants to be, it's eventually that's going to fall too. It can't stand. Injustice cannot stand. And you see racism here. You see implicit biases here when it talks about they only consult to cast him down from their high position. In other words, there's a group of people trying to keep another group of people down, and so they're trying to cast him down from what? From the position of equity, because God made us all but equal in his sight. And they're trying to get to a point where they're trying to use systems. They're trying to use departments, even the police department has been used for so many years to just kind of keep people down. And when I remember the civil rights movement, and I think of people like Bull Connor, who would go out there and put the dogs on them, and they were using a system to try to keep people down, and the system has just gotten more sophisticated. But the same things are happening. They are consulting to cast him down. They are consulting to how do we keep them down from their high position. The high position is equality, being there. And they delight in lies, all the lies that we have believed about ourselves, to the point where sometimes people who look like us don't even feel good about who they are. I've seen the studies where they did these studies where they would take a white doll baby and a black doll baby into a white child and a black child, and both of them want the white doll baby as opposed to the black doll baby. It starts at a young age that we have these things in our minds, the lies that we believe that we are not good enough. And then we begin to live like that. See, they bless with their mouths. Sometimes they say good things to you. But inwardly, they don't even want to associate with you. The Bible tells us these things. We just have to understand what the Bible is saying. And we have to get to a point that we realize that there is a problem. But here's another problem, beloved. We can't respond in like manner. We can't bring ourselves down to their level. Because we trust God. We realize there's a problem. And we acknowledge there's a problem. And the second thing I want you to understand is that once you realize there's a problem, you must realize that people cannot fix the problem. If people are the problem, they can't fix the problem. And so you need to understand that it's right there in the Psalms. All you got to do is go right down there and look at verse 9. It says, surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scale, they altogether are lighter than vapor. No, what it says is they don't have any substance inside them, whether they're on a high scale or a low scale. Whether you think you're here or you think you're there, you don't have the substance to do what's right. It's only done through the what? The blood of Christ. When you're saved and you understand and you come out of this fleshly nature and you go into your spiritual nature and you can see things differently. Everything that we're trying to do as a humankind will fail because we're flawed. We don't have what it takes to fix what we're in. God does. We don't. I don't care where you think you stand. He says men of high degree, men of low degree. He wants you to understand we're all in this thing together. We don't have what it takes. We can't fix this thing called racism. It's a changing of the heart. And we got to do the things that God called us to do. Verse 10 tells them, and this is to them who are doing the oppression, says, do not trust in oppression. In other words, don't think you're building this thing up by oppressing people and think that it's going to work. Nor vainly hope in robbery. And what he's saying is that you're robbing people of their dignity. And don't put all your hope in those riches that you've gotten off of the back of a race of people. Do not set your heart on them. I have to read this to you that I got out of one of the commentaries that I read as I was preparing this message. I didn't want to mess up, so I said I'm going to read it straight from the commentary. I thought it was so befitting. And it says this, it says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. Wealth ill-gotten is the trust only of fools, for the deadly pestilence lies in it. It is full of canker and it rakes with God's curse. To tread down on the poor people and to try to silence their cries for justice is the delight of many braggarts and bullies. Who in his arrogance imagines that he may defy both God and man? But he is warned in these words, and it will be well with him if he takes heed to this warning. For the judge of all the earth will surely visit upon men the oppression of the innocent and the robbery of the poor. Both of these may be affected legally through our current court system. But no twistings of the law, no tricks of evasions will ever avail with the courts of heaven. God sees all and God knows all, and God will rectify all in his time. And all that has been done that is wrong will have to be accounted for. But we're not the judge. God is the judge. So as you can see, we identify the problem, and as you can see that people can't fix the problem. So what are we supposed to do then as God's people? We ought to realize that God is our only hope. That God is our only hope. Even in the midst of all the protesting going on, we still got to realize that God is our only hope. Black lives do matter, but God is our only hope. Amen. Amen. Never forget that, beloved. Amen. And here the psalmist puts that very plainly. He says one of the first things we do is we got to trust God. Verses 1 and 2, it says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. Salvation, what? Deliverance. He only is my rock. The thing that I can depend on, the steady one, and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In other words, I'm not swayed by humankind, no matter what the color. Because, see, I'm not fooled to the point that if we think that if we take over, that we're going to treat them any better than they treated us. See, that's what I mean. We have to be very careful and understand that Scripture very clearly states that. Go to Romans 2. I wasn't going to do it, but go to Romans 2. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture very quickly. I want to get you out of it, but Romans 2. And look what it says. It says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. That's talking about all of us. Whoever you are who judge, for whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves. For you who judge practice the very same thing. We are no better. They are no better. But God is our only hope. Amen. Amen. God is our only hope. God. And that's why David didn't even trust himself. He says, my soul, that's all of him inside. It says, silently waits for God, from whom comes my salvation. When David had a chance to take Saul out, he didn't do it. Why? Because he knew what he was capable of doing. Being just like Saul. And so he says, no, my soul waits. My soul rests. All of this comes from what? From his ability to understand that his defense, look at verse 2, his only defense, his rock of salvation, God is his only defense. And he says, I will not greatly be moved, not to the left, not to the right. My primary focus has to always be on God. I will not be moved. I will not be swayed. My primary focus has to always be on God.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
And just so you understand, he says it again. Go down there to verse 5 and look what he says. My soul waits silently for God. And look, God alone. He's not depending on anyone else to deliver him from his situation but God. He still moves in that direction, but guess what? He's waiting on the Lord, for my expectation is from him.
Amen.
That's who. I'm relying on God. My total dependence is on God. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Look, it says again, I shall not be moved.
Amen.
And God is my salvation and my glory, my rock and my strength, in my refuge. Here's the key posture, beloved, for all believers. Trust in him at all times, you, his people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. What is he saying? Our posture is in prayer.
Amen.
He said our posture is in prayer. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. We're talking about saying we ought to be on our knees. Even in the midst of our protests, we should be on our knees praying. God, move in this situation. We can't move until you move. You make it right. Why? Because of the names that I read, sometimes there's malice in our heart, and I might respond wrong. Because this thing is so close to me, and because it affects the people of the color of my skin, my son could be what? He could be the next victim. It's really part of me. Lord, I got to trust you. I'm praying to you that you keep me in a point where I won't move to my left or to my right, but I'm trusting you, God.
Amen.
Because I know that eventually what I do will be judged by you. And I have to give an account to you. You're our only hope, God.
Yes, you are.
And so we wait with patience. Understanding the problem is people. We are part of the problem because we're people. So we pray, and then we understand that our hope comes from the one and the only one who has the power to change all of this for the good.
Amen. Amen.
Look at the bottom part in verse 11. It says, God has spoken once, twice I have heard, that power, omnipotence, it all belongs to God. God is the only one who can fix this thing to a point where there will be true justice, where there will be true equality. God has the power to do that. And so since God is using us as his people, guess what? We now have the power to do it his way.
Amen.
If we become steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in what?
Of the Lord.
In the work of the Lord.
Yes,
it can't be based on what we want. It has to be based on who God is.
Thank you.
And through his power. And when you do it through his power, look at verse 12 says, also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy. And what he's saying is that loving kindness, that mercy, all those tender mercy God has, now he's going to work that through us.
Amen.
that we ought to be living in such a way that people understand and see our good works, but glorify our Father who is in heaven. Why? Because we had mercy. And why do we have mercy? Because we have been given mercy. New mercies we see every day of our lives. And so God will render to that, to us, each day, each one, according to his or her works. Beloved, that's our posture. I want people to understand, yes, you should be involved. But don't become so consumed you forget who you are. Because they need to see Christ in the flesh. And they need to see us responding with all of our hope and all of our trust in God. The Bible says that God has the what? The hearts of the kings in his hands. And like the river, he can turn them and make them go in any direction he wants them to go in. He is not powerless. He is not somebody sitting up there and doesn't know what's going on. God knew this was actually going to happen. And he wants to see, how are my people going to respond? We have self-control. We have the Spirit of God. We have the truth of God.
Amen.
But now we have to trust God.
Amen. Amen.
And when we do, God will bring about the change in his time.
Thank
you. And in the right way.
Thank you.
And when he comes back, he's coming back.
Yes, he
Don't
is.
Let people fool y'all. Yes. He is coming back.
Yes, he is.
And when he comes back, oh, what a time. And you will get the reward that God has for you. And that's why he says he will render to each one according to his work. That's not your salvation. That's in Christ alone. But your reward comes from the works that you do here, now, even in the midst of the turmoil. He wants you to understand your posture should be in your practice of your patience of waiting for Christ on your knees in prayer, because God has all the power. God, we thank you for your word. We understand where we are. We are in the midst of chaos. But even in the midst of chaos, oh God, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding because we are in Christ. And we understand, yes, we are to get involved, oh God. We are to let our voice be heard, oh God. But we have to make sure we're saying it the way you would have us to say it. And that we're doing the things that you would have us to do. Because we want to bring all glory to you. Because you are God. And you are a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved, and we are loved by you. That's who we are. That's who we are. And we trust you. And we know that all things shall work together for the good, for those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. We've been called out, God, sometimes to be picked on, but we know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, oh God. And we're praying, and we're placing this situation in your hand. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of those who love you, we say amen.
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 And amen. Give God.